He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Tuesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where over the last 24 hours, there have been reports and speculation about the ACC's impending doom. Ooh. Oh no, the Magnificent Seven, the grant of rights being examined. Are teams going to bail? Ah! There is no clearer example of the absurdity of what's being sold to us, and really how major college athletics works in 2023, than what is happening with the ACC this week. Days after FSU's AD complained that the league was in a full-blown financial crisis, in danger of being able to compete because of it. By the way, Clemson and Miami seem to be on board with that message. Days after that, the ACC is holding its spring meetings at a beachside resort in Amelia Island, Florida, where rooms go for over $1,100 a night, and it feels like everyone's there. Football, basketball coaches, ADs, probably wives, family members. It feels like everyone's there, and we're going to put it on the tab. Yep, seems like the type of behavior that we'd see from a poor, struggling conference, am I right? Here's the reality of the matter. Cries for needing more money is an overstatement at best, a manufactured lie by greedy university presidents at worst. And the same goes for anybody saying the ACC is in danger anytime soon. One day, maybe, when the grant of rights is close to expiring. If the grant of rights wasn't legit, we'd know it by now. If schools really were in danger of leaving, they would have already left. So that's all premature. Talk to us 6-7 years from now, when you want to talk about the ACC really being in that much trouble. But back to the money piece. This is just how college sports has worked for a long time now. There's never going to be enough money. There's never going to be enough. You're never going to see a school say, you know, we're set. We're going to save some money now. We'll turn away this money from donors. We'll just stop asking, frankly. Schools are always going to ask for more, selling it that they need it, just to add a barbershop that they don't need in their football facility or a bowling alley or new locker rooms every 5 years. That's how it works. Everybody works in the red, even though they're making more money hand over fist than they ever have before. To be clear, the data is legit that there is a financial gap between the ACC and the SEC and the Big Ten. That is a challenge, and it's only going to continue to grow. That is not going to be an advantage for the ACC. It will be a disadvantage. I don't have any issue with saying that. I don't have any issue saying that you want to make more, that you want to get closer, right? That's fine. That's American. That's capitalistic. You want to make more? Sure, I want to make more too. WD, I'm sure, does. There's no problem in wanting to make more.
Send me that cash out.
Just don't lie to us. They're telling us they need it, or else they're not going to be able to compete anymore. They're not going to be able to, match up with these top schools that they're in danger of not being able to, play these Alabamas and Georgias of the world. This idea should be rejected on its face because it's not true, and I can prove it. Let's look at other sports. Now, most sports are salary capped. They're probably not great examples of this, but do you know what sport isn't? Baseball. Shouldn't more money guarantee more on-field success? Having more money should guarantee dominance, shouldn't it? Who has more money than WD's New York Yankees?
And they haven't won a trophy since 09.
14 years. The Dodgers have won one championship in 35. Who's the best team in baseball right now?
Is the Pirates still?
Tampa Bay by a mile.
Tampa Bay, that's right.
Tampa Bay by a mile. The team that doesn't draw any attendance. A team that doesn't have a huge payroll. They're dominating that sport. College sports. Look at some of the teams that win in college basketball. Remember those programs that were left for dead because of football in the Big East when they turned into the American? Villanova's won two national titles since then in a revenue-generating sport. UConn turned down less money from the American to go back to the Big East and just won a national title in basketball. Oh, we're not going to be able to compete. TCU competed just fine and got to the national championship game. Again, is it ideal? No. Is it an existential crisis? That's a no, too. Especially with the new 12-team playoff format that's going to be starting next year. I'd make this argument to you, WD. You'd say that, Texas and Oklahoma, they landed to a safe place in the SEC. Financially, they landed to a safe place. USC and UCLA, they did the same going from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, right? How many teams are going to make the playoff from these conferences that are 16 teams, right? Who's going to be okay with losing? You think Texas couldn't win in the Big 12. You think they're going to win in the SEC now that they're playing LSU and Alabama? Good luck with that. The path to getting to the playoff and having success is a lot easier, you would think, in the ACC. The path would be a lot clearer to get to that point and compete for national championships in that conference than would be the SEC, right? And the playoff, it's single elimination. It's a single elimination bracket. Why should Gonzaga be allowed to win big in college basketball, be one of the top programs? Why should UConn be allowed to do so? Well, because they win their conference and get into the tournament. It's single elimination, and we'll put our best against your best and figure it out. Like, there are more great athletes in America today and across the world today than there have ever been. And I got news for you. There are going to be more great athletes than can fill up these Big Ten and SEC rosters. There's going to be enough for several other conferences and programs to be able to win in college sports. So the cries, the need for money in order to compete, it's an overstatement, and I'd go as far to say it's a lie by greedy university presidents. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in, 336-777-1600. We've got a really big show today for reasons we'll tell you about in a second involving the Davie County Young Life second annual golf tournament that we'll have live reports from an organization that means a lot to us, which we'll be telling you about throughout today's show. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show. You can stream video on Twitter at WSJS Radio in addition to YouTube and Twitch. WD, I wore this Denver Nuggets t-shirt just for you today.
You did?
Just for you.
Really?
I wore this.
Hey, it begins tonight. Lakers Nuggets on the road in Denver. Steal one, Lakers.
Also got the NBA draft lottery tonight. So a big night in the NBA. More on that a little bit later on. Race week at North Wilkesboro really kicks off tonight. Like, tonight is when it's really going to start feeling real at the old racetrack, because late models are going to run tonight and tomorrow. Chase Elliott going to be among the drivers tonight. He actually raced at North Wilkesboro in a late model back in 2010, so he has a little bit of experience. Kevin Harvick and Dale Jr., they're going to go tomorrow night, just as Dale did last August. He had the number 3 Sundrop late model. He's going to be in that again. Here was Dale recently on what this week means to him.
I'm telling you, when everybody comes out to this all-star race and stands down there right before they fire the engines for that race, you're going to feel something inside of you, Larry, that you ain't felt in a long time. No, I promise you that. It's a really, really cool feeling. When we were there in August, it was amazing how nostalgic it felt. And it's a special place.
So it's late models tonight and tomorrow. After late models, we got trucks running Friday and Saturday. That's the real thing, Saturday. Not an exhibition. It is the NASCAR Truck Series race coming back to North Wilkesboro. First time for trucks since 1996, too. And they also have concerts going starting on Friday. You got Chase Rice that's going to be performing. They got that right. You got Dierks Bentley that's going to be performing on Sunday. I expect biblical crowds to be showing up to Wilkes County this week. They're probably already there. And then Sunday, it's race day. And that's when the nostalgia should hit you. Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip, the two greatest champions at North Wilkesboro. They're going to be the co-grand marshals for the race. You got, Darrell Waltrip's actually going to be a guest with us on tomorrow's show. That's pretty exciting. Boogity, 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 let's go racing, boys! The 75th anniversary of NASCAR this year. They're doing it right, having the All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro. And this year, I think, is the 76-year anniversary of North Wilkesboro's existence. So North Wilkesboro Speedway, which started a dirt track, opened up a year before NASCAR's existence. A lot of history, of course, here in the state of North Carolina.
You're on the drive with Josh Trail, WSJS.
Panthers offensive coordinator Thomas Brown met with the media for the first time since Bryce Young was taken number one overall. So he was asked the million-dollar question, who is going to be starting for you game one at quarterback?
From day-to-day standpoint, obviously, Andy's our starter right now. Bryce is getting a lot of reps with the ones and two just because he is a rookie. Like most of our rookies are kind of getting some more work over some of the veterans because of just the experience and the repetition of it. But, you know, what's today? Tuesday? It's, you know, Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to Wednesday, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait for Wednesday. Can't wait for what happens tomorrow or the day after that. Exhilarating stuff. Perfect, thoughtful, insightful answer from Thomas Brown. We're not going to know until preseason games are played who is going to start for the Panthers. But they're saying the right things. You have to say Andy Dalton is the starter right now because Bryce Young hasn't proven anything yet. All we've seen from Bryce Young is him out there in shorts and the number 9 jersey during rookie minicamp with no pads on, slinging it a bit. It is funny. There is that video that was taken from the left of the line.
Yep.
Where people are kind of overreacting, I feel like.
Yep.
Bryce seeming a little short.
Just a bit.
Josh McCown's, he's a taller guy, and Bryce seemed kind of small. If we were to inject Panther photographers and Panther content creators over there with truth serum and ask them this question, how do you think they're going to answer this question? The question being this: have you guys discussed ways to make Bryce seem taller in your pictures and videos?
I don't think they have.
Hey, you're going to want to shoot him from this angle.
Well,
a little bit down low, shoot upward. After, that way, he seems a little bit taller. Add a couple of inches there.
After the reaction to that video that we're talking about, maybe.
Yeah.
Or they just don't care.
I think that conversation's happened. To be clear, I'm not saying Bryce Young is telling the Panthers, hey, maybe you could get me at a better angle here. I'm not saying he's saying that. But I bet you that's a conversation that's happened. Thomas Brown was asked whether or not he has concerns about Bryce's size. I don't know why he's asked that question. Kind of like, I don't get why he's asked who the starting quarterback is going to be. Do you think he's going to slip and be like, oh, it's going to be Bryce? Oh, no! Just like, do you think if he honestly had concerns about Bryce's size, do you think now that he's been drafted, he would say under any circumstances, you know what? It's interesting you asked me that. Yeah, I do have those concerns.
That's out of the bag. You know what? I couldn't tell you before, but now we got him.
Since you asked, I can't stand the fact he's only 5'10". We should have drafted CJ. Here was Thomas Brown saying really the only thing he could have said.
For me personally, I never cared about it because I evaluate tape. I evaluate the person. Think about this projection to this level. And, I mean, Bryce is himself. I'm not into comparisons about what came before, who's coming in the future, because I try to, you know, try to look at everybody individually of what they can do, what they can bring to the table. So, for me personally, I never cared about it.
Got it. He was an undersized player when he played at Georgia back in the day. This actually is a newsworthy piece that came out of Thomas Brown's presser. He confirmed that Frank Reich was going to be the play caller. He confirmed, but this is actually the more interesting piece. Thomas Brown said he was going to coach from the sideline. So, usually the offensive coordinator is up in the booth. Now, maybe it's less surprising because he's not calling plays, but that was something he confirmed earlier today during that press conference. Looking at one of the other major pro sports teams in the Queen City, it's a huge night for the Charlotte Hornets. This is a night that Hornet fans have circled probably before the season even tipped off last year. I know we have. As soon as they didn't get the coach they wanted and Miles Bridges had that situation that transpired, that was less than ideal. And LaMelo was dealing with injuries before the season even started. We started to look ahead. We saw the writing on the wall. The Hornets were going to be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. Well, tonight we're going to learn who gets Victor. Adrian Wojnarowski's on television in the last couple of hours saying, this might be the most highly anticipated athlete in the history of the NBA coming in, and perhaps the greatest athlete coming into a sport in the history of team sports. That's how big, literally and figuratively, Victor Wembanyama is. 7'5 wingspan, can handle it. It's pretty remarkable. Conspiracy Josh believes that this might be rigged and that the NBA is going to reward the San Antonio Spurs for being good soldiers in the league and being a model franchise. And hey, Greg Popovich is still around. We gave you Tim Duncan and look what you did with him in 97. And now we're going to reward you again on the way out.
Tim Duncan 2.0.
Conspiracy Josh thinks that the NBA isn't going to leave it up to chance where a guy who is this talented ends up. That's what Conspiracy Josh thinks. What's the other? Who are the other types of Joshes we've learned about?
There's NPR Josh.
NPR Josh.
Yeah. What is the other?
There's NPR Josh who I've been discouraged to let out because apparently people don't like guys who on the radio use words from like SAT words. Nobody wants that. Words that you have to look up in the encyclopedia. Well, why would you look it up in the encyclopedia? The dictionary is what I meant to go by there. But optimistic Josh has a different viewpoint when it comes to the Hornets.
Oh.
Optimistic Josh thinks that maybe the NBA might want to reward a small market team if they do, in fact, have control of this. The Hornets have a 12.5% chance at getting the number one pick, which is 1.5% worse than the three teams that had the worst record in the league's chances. 14% for the Rockets, the Nuggets, or not the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Pistons, and the San Antonio Spurs. Charlotte, the fourth team with more than 10% chance at getting the number one pick. Those are the teams we're going to limit the scope to that could potentially get him. Maybe the NBA looks at it and says, hey, they have a star in LaMelo Ball who's non-committal to staying in that market. A way to keep him around to get that organization that's been struggling competitive is by charging it up with Victor Wembanyama and pairing him with Michael Jordan, who's still owning the team as of right now. That'd be a place to send him. Let's do that. The same way that they sent Zion to New Orleans after they got Anthony Davis about 10 years ago, too. That's optimistic, Josh. So there's conspiracy Josh and optimistic Josh. The Hornets need Victor Wembanyama most, and they deserve him most because unlike the three teams with worse records than Charlotte, they didn't intentionally tank in order to be as bad as they were. They tried to win. Bad things just happened to them. We mentioned the Kenny Atkinson situation and Miles Bridges and the injuries that they dealt with. San Antonio, Detroit, and Houston did not try to win. And by the way, they already have guys who they took first and second overall. Jalen Green with Houston, and they got Şengün in the draft, who's really good. Cade Cunningham was the number one pick just a few years ago. They got guys already. Charlotte, they got LaMelo Ball, but they haven't had the number one pick since 91, WD. Did you know that? 91 was the only other time they had the number one pick. They are the most playoff-starved franchise in the league. Longest drought, now that Sacramento made the playoffs, in the league, 7 years they haven't made the playoffs. And they are one of two franchises to never reach a conference finals. The other team, the New Orleans Pelicans, who had only been around for 20 years, while Charlotte's been around for close to 35. And let's not forget, New Orleans stole Charlotte's basketball team close to 20 years ago. So Charlotte deserves a break. They deserve this star player. And let's hope it happens for them later on tonight.
Let's get the show going.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham.
A couple of sports media notes before we take it to the house. Pat McAfee taking his show to ESPN, where he already does College Game Day and a bunch of other things for the network. So that's going to be a shift. Good on him, though. The way that he's grown his brand, it's a pretty special thing, and it seems pretty clear that his future is going to be intertwined with ESPN, whether it be something regarding the Monday night football booth one day, or, you know, college football as well. Seemingly already replaced Lee Corso as the guy that people turn to on that show. He's on the show more than Corso is, or was this past season, bringing a lot of energy to that show. That's something to pass along. And then you have, well, WD, we called this before the series even started. Lakers Warriors, the most highly rated second round series in the history of the NBA. Lakers Warriors. Who could have saw that coming? LeBron facing Steph and company. Big win for the NBA this entire offseason. And a big night tonight. Lakers Nuggets. I like the Nuggets in six games to take down the Lakers. And we're having our fingers crossed prior to that game what's going to happen with the NBA draft lottery. The Hornets with a 10.5% chance. So you're telling me there's a chance, or a 12.5% chance. 2% better than that. Let's take it to the house.
Past the 15, past the 10, past the 5 for the drive. We'll take it to the house.
1, 2, 3.
Brought to you by East Coast Wings and Grill. Served up for you a story that we close out today's show with.
Laudamat. Police walked up to this man's house who appeared to be working on his car. They were there to arrest him, something about a warrant for contempt of court. That's why they were there. So as they close in on him, he darts. He gets in his car and he bolts. He leaves, ran over several fences, all over the curb.
In his car.
In his car. Police in pursuit. And eventually he pulled his car over and got out and ran.
Right.
So then he runs, and he made several pit stops and burglarized multiple homes. And in one of the homes, a woman who lived there found like three missing Capri Suns.
Yeah.
And her clothes thrown all over the place. Eventually, with the canine unit, a police helicopter, and about 20 deputy cars in pursuit, they got him. The guy was in somebody's yard running. He turns around, yells, "Bleep you," and then he collapses on the ground and they arrested him.
Capri Suns.
Capri Suns. He was on crack, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Oh, well, or Stephen A. would say, "On crack!" Curtis, as he would say. Yeah, not surprising. Florida man on crack! Not surprising at all. But it is... I do have questions about the lady who noticed that some Capri Suns were taken. How would you notice that?
Oh, well, they were left on her yard.
Got it. Yeah.
Empty.
When's the last time you had a Capri Sun?
Lunch when I was in second grade.
Not since then.
I don't think so.
I could do for a Capri Sun. Maybe get one of those Lunchables as well. Do with that. Great stuff today. Tomorrow, Daryl Waltrip's going to join the show. Boogity, boogity, boogity. On a Wednesday drive.